Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, don't look now, politics junkies, but the first votes for president will be cast in 1 year, exactly 52 weeks from tonight, Monday, February 6th, 2012. That's the date for the Iowa caucuses, and already Republican presidential hopefuls are being seen around the state. Today, our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is launching a project with Iowa Public Radio called Where Does Your Vote Come From? If you happen to be listening in Iowa, we are inviting you to name an issue and tell us why it matters to you or your community personally. Tell us a story about that issue in your life. Go to itsafreecountry.org to have your say. If you're living in Iowa right now, or contact anyone you know in Iowa and invite them to make their voice heard in this joint project with Iowa Public Radio, Where Does Your Vote Come From? At itsafreecountry.org. To help us kick it off at this 1 year mark before the first vote, and because this is going to be interesting to people in the New York area too, we welcome Joyce Russell, State House reporter with Iowa Public Radio. She has written an article on It's a Free Country called In Iowa, Tea Party's Influence Limited So Far. Joyce, it's so exciting to be doing this project together. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian. I think the project should be really useful and helpful.
That's great. And first, the Iowa caucuses next year are a month later than in 2008 when they happened right after New Year's. I think the date was January 3rd. Did Iowa make them a month later just out of a general sense that the primary season had become too long?
Not that it necessarily had become too long, but, at some point you have to say every year it had been creeping up. It had been in late February when I first started covering the Iowa caucuses. Every year it had gotten earlier and earlier. And the crunch of doing that right after the holidays just was very difficult on everyone. And I don't know a single political reporter who wasn't happy to hear that they were pushed back a bit.
I'll bet.
But I guess the length of the caucus season could have something to do with it as well.
Is Iowa proceeding right now under the assumption that there will only be caucuses on the Republican side, that Obama will not be challenged by a renegade Democrat in a meaningful way to engage the state?
I would say that you used exactly the right term. We are operating under that assumption. I haven't seen any evidence that anyone is going to step forward and challenge the president.
Have any Republican hopefuls been especially present in Iowa so far?
I would say Tim Pawlenty, former governor of Minnesota, has made the most visits here, along with Rick Santorum, and they have been around a lot. Of course, neighboring state of Minnesota, something like, according to one count, Pawlenty's been here for 13 days so far, Santorum for 15. They've met with a number of, insiders, party leaders, and such. So they've probably been here the most. Newt Gingrich, maybe a close third after them. A couple of other candidates, though, who have met with party leaders, Michelle Bachmann for one, Haley Barbour for another, and Mitt Romney.
Anyone conspicuous for their absence?
Conspicuous for their absence. Well, Sarah Palin has been here four times, and she was here on a book tour. She also gave a high-profile speech for a Republican Party fundraiser last fall. But she has not been meeting with, as some of the others have done, she has not been meeting with party leaders. There is one man who's sort of a self-appointed Palin supporter who's been meeting with party leaders, but Palin herself has not. So I guess I'd have to say she's been conspicuous in her absence, since the speculation is so high that she may, in fact, be running.
Your article on It's a Free Country is called In Iowa, Tea Party's Influence is Limited So Far. And you point out that in last fall's midterm elections, the Tea Party did not score a major victory like they did in many other states. Did they try and fail in Iowa somehow?
Well, they did not coalesce behind any high-profile candidate, a governor or senator. But they did. There were some candidates that they supported and who pulled off some surprising victories. Our new Secretary of State is a Tea Party favorite, and he knocked off a Democratic incumbent. That doesn't happen very often in statewide offices here. And we have three new state legislators who were favored by the Tea Party. They also supported a candidate for U.S. House, but were not successful. But they did knock off a longtime Democratic incumbent in the Iowa House. Interestingly, a moderate Democrat who really had no reason to be making fiscal conservatives angry, but they launched a Tea Party candidate against her, and they were successful.
And, of course, whatever happens in Iowa can have an outsized impact on the nominating process nationwide. It certainly happened with Barack Obama in 2008. Mike Huckabee, mm-hmm. however, won on the Republican side in 2008. But there's so much focus on Iowa in the year starting today leading up to the caucuses, mm-hmm. not just on the media's part, but obviously on the part of the candidates themselves because they think it's so important. And so the Iowa Tea Party groups, you make clear in your article, expect to feel the love from the presidential hopefuls, even if they weren't the biggest, most influential Tea Party group in the nation. So how are they communicating that?
Well, they're just trying to get organized, actually. It's a very a disparate group in terms of small groups here and there. There are as many as 60 or 70 groups that either call themselves Tea Party or 912 or We the People. These are all sort of constitutionally minded groups. And they're just in the process of trying to get organized. I wrote in my article about a sort of a summit meeting that they had the Saturday after the election, and that was kind of to do it right after the election. There was kind of a symbolism to that they were trying to say, well, everybody else is tired, but we're not, and we're already looking ahead. And at that time, that was their first effort at getting some kind of statewide organization together. They're still working on that. I know they've launched a website. I don't know how much success they're having at unifying. And also, it wasn't entirely clear that these groups are so independent-minded that it's not entirely clear that they can or will or even will want to coalesce behind one candidate. That remains to be seen. They had some outside speakers there, Tea Party leaders from other states who were encouraging them to coalesce behind one candidate, but it wasn't entirely clear whether that was going to happen. By some estimates, there are about 10,000 people who call themselves Tea Partiers or members of related groups who are in these small local action groups. Some estimates that goes up to 30,000, so anywhere from 10,000 to 30,000 people is kind of hard to get a handle on how significant they mm-hmm. are. And to put that in perspective, the 110,000 Republicans voted in the Iowa caucuses. There's some indication that Republicans are certainly energized after successes in the fall election, and they're anticipating an even bigger turnout. So that kind of gives you an idea of their potential influence, but it's really still kind of up in the air.
With this idea at least floated among those groups of trying to coalesce around one candidate, I guess that's so they don't divide the Tea Party vote, such as it is, and help elect some other candidate. How would they do that? I mean, with various Tea Party-friendly candidates to choose from, you mentioned Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, Huckabee, who won Iowa in 08, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, who will all largely agree with each other on most things, what would the Tea Party members be looking for to coalesce behind?
Well, they share their what the Tea Party folks across the country they share the constitutional concerns, the limited government concerns, the overspending concerns. But what's a little bit different about the people who call themselves Tea Partiers here in Iowa is that they seem to be equally interested in social issues, and I think it can. This conversation has probably gone too far without mentioning just how energized the social conservatives are in Iowa right now because of the same-sex marriage issue. I'm sure you're aware that after the Supreme Court cleared the way for same-sex marriage in Iowa, there was a huge backlash, and they were critics of that ruling were able to vote off of the bench three of the Supreme Court justices who signed off on that ruling, mm-hmm. Who were up for a regular, usually non-controversial retention vote. So I said all of that to say that social conservatives are extremely energized in Iowa right now. So whereas if we were thinking, okay, if the Tea Partiers are going to have their say, probably Mike Huckabee wouldn't get very far because he hasn't been out there as a fiscal conservative. But the elephant in the room are the evangelicals, yeah. and a lot of the Tea Partiers are right there along with them. And then one interesting thing to me is that the social conservatives, the evangelicals, the religious conservatives, their paths kind of cross with the constitutional people or the limited government people, because that Supreme Court ruling to them was an overreach of government. So they kind of their paths kind of coalesce there.
They merge around that, and it's interesting yeah. because the Tea Party nationally has tried to convey an impression of being almost singularly focused on the size of government. And
right.
not on social and religious issues.
Well, it's definitely different here. But to answer your question about how they're going to pick a candidate, mm-hmm. I'm sure you saw that in Indiana, some Tea Party groups have vowed to coalesce behind someone to challenge the sitting senator there, Richard Lugar. So probably the Tea Party people here are going to be watching that to see how they go about doing that, how they go about unifying themselves.
Well, Joyce Russell, State House reporter with Iowa Public Radio. She has written an article on itsafreecountry.org, our politics website, called In Iowa, Tea Party's Influence Limited So Far. And there you have it, folks. The first vote in the 2012 presidential race. The Iowa caucuses are a year away, 52 weeks from tonight. And again, listeners, as of right now, our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, is launching a project with Iowa Public Radio called Where Does Your Vote Come From? So if you happen to be listening in Iowa, we are inviting you to name an issue and tell us why it matters to you or your community personally. Tell us a story about that issue in your life or your community's life. Go to itsafreecountry.org to have your say. If you're living in Iowa right now, or contact anyone you know in Iowa and invite them to make their voice heard in this joint project with Iowa Public Radio, Where Does Your Vote Come From? At itsafreecountry.org. And Joyce, thank you very much. That was very informative, and I really look forward to working together over the next year.
Me too. Thanks a lot for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the implications of the Egypt Revolution for women. We'll have the woman often considered Egypt's leading feminist, Nawal El Saadawi. She has been out in Tahrir Square herself, and she will be on the phone with us right after this.